Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
You're staying at the airport, aren't you?
Yeah, the airport. I'm playing. It's, in fact, the name of the hotel is called Steve Wynn's Tarmac.
You know how awkward it would be if I did get a car and I picked up Mike and I had to drop him off at the very nice hotel.
Exactly.
And then drive back to my hotel. Yeah.
It would have been nice if maybe 100 of that 190 got thrown towards the suit. You know, I can feel my thumbs tightening mentally around his neck. I just
Gucci
want to
belt, eh?
Oh, and it's beautiful.
Really?
Oh, it's it really looks like he looks like a real housewife, except he's a boy. And
all that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Luke Bryan, wishing you a very happy Halloween.
Boo. Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, Washington, D.C., home base of the Mike O'Mara Show, home of Natitude.
Yes.
What a World Series we have. We haven't done a ratings check on the World Series, but this is a gooder. This is for all the baseball fans, and I count myself among them, this is what it's all about. This is like, I don't have a dog in the fight. You know, I'm a Red Sox fan, but when I'm staying up, I'm watching this, I'm exhausted. Just these games just going on and on.
And it's like a license for Fox to print money because it's seven games.
God.
It could have been four. It's three more games.
It's so much
seven
fun.
Seven games. Look, I don't care how you feel about sports, about baseball. Look at this as a television entertainment event. If you are somebody who has flirted with baseball in the past and said, I don't know, or you're from Washington, D.C., or Houston, Texas, and you're hearing my voice right now.
Or Montreal.
And you want to just check it out. There's nothing like a seventh game.
No, it's exciting.
In any kind of series. It's really, really fun. And there are so many little stories going on right now with the Houston Astros and the Washington Nationals. There's bad blood. Mm. There's showboating. Mm. There's cockiness. And these guys don't like it. Nobody's talked about this a lot. Maybe not on the actual telecast because I don't watch any of the pregame crap. But I will tell you, there's definite bad blood between these two.
Oh, yeah.
They
sure
don't like each other. And that's rare, but it gives me just a taste of that Yankees-Red Sox vibe that we're getting because it's just so beautifully competitive. And the Nationals had their backs to the wall. What's their theme? Like, keep fighting? That's their
thing. Stay in the fight, and now it's win the fight.
Stay in the fight. Yes. So let's win the fight. They're fighting, and they are fighting. And so here we are in Washington, D.C. The town is going crazy because it is the Washington Nationals going to a Game 7 in Houston, and unprecedented. The home teams can't win in their home park.
And remember I said after the last game that the embers were just smoldering in the town? They're back on fire now. It's a raging fire.
Well, that's a totally different story, which frustrates me greatly because the politeness of the Washington faithful that does not match the bitter negative energy of New England sports fans.
Right.
So I almost said Capitals because it's the same kind of thing. Yeah. When the Nationals lose, it's just radio silence. When they win, it's like
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that the Nationals are a relatively young franchise and they don't have enough hooks in D.C. yet to really bring out the anger when there's a bad moment?
All I know is this: that if I'm a baseball general manager and I'm somebody who wants a player to play on his team with his dead brown eyes, Anthony Rendon, with his I don't care about anything look, that's the guy you want on your team. This guy has ice water in his veins. This is a cool customer. He's not pretending to be cool. He's cool. He is Iceman. You see him. Let me see if I can do a fat 60-year-old Irish guy doing a physical impression of a conditioned Latin American athlete is probably not a good idea, but I've got to do my
You're
Rendon.
Working on it. All right.
Because he is the guy. He is the guy I watch. I watch him more than anybody. He's the most interesting guy. And
once again, Mike, the phrase dead brown eyes.
Like nothing's wrong.
All right.
He's tense. Of course he's tense.
Of course he got it.
But he's not showing it. But then he gets up there and he's not showing it on with his performance. No. So maybe that's the way he is. But like at one point he's talking to another player and they had a really good close up of him. And the player's saying something and he goes like this. Yeah, just like,
shrug, smile, dismiss.
He's got a dickish way about him,
which means he does.
If he's on your team, you want that.
You want that all day.
So bad. Yeah. And
especially if he's hitting dingers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But he was the guy last night. Yeah. He was completely the guy. The guy that just shows up in a situation like this. And I never thought I'd get.
When this started,
I was joking about
Johnny
it.
National.
I didn't think I'd get caught up in the spirit of competition. But I am. I mean, this.
To be fair, you do love the game, and when it's a good game, you're in.
This is so good for baseball. This is when baseball is. You never know. You never know. When I very rarely turn it off, but I turned it off after the extra home run, after they went up 7-2, because I said, "All right, this is in hand,
right?"
And it's not. You know, I do want to get some amount of sleep. So, but this is it. So, if you like baseball, if you don't like baseball, tune in tonight.
Game 7 of the World Series.
They don't happen all the time, and they're fun to watch. And you got two teams that there's never been a better example of it could go either way.
You're right.
You got the stud pitcher Max Scherzer for the Washington Nationals, who might have his like entire spine blow up before the game tonight because he's got a neck injury. Mm. You don't know what. Max Scherzer's going to show up, and I think he's going to gut it out.
Or the Rubes at home.
Yes.
And the Rubes in the room, and the Rubes in the control room. Can you explain to a layman, that's maybe just a Fairweather fan or knows of the game a little bit, how incredible Steven Strasburg's performance was last night?
Well, there is a zone that great pitchers get into. That where he wasn't there in the first inning, because they grabbed two runs off him. Because most of these pitchers, they have to. It's like me warming up on a driving range. You got to kind of get into the flow. It's muscle memory. It's knowing where you're doing, and it takes some time. And usually, if you're going to do damage on a great pitcher, the only chance you have is in the early innings, first or second inning. That's about it. Well, they got two runs, and then Steven Strasburg went into this zone, and the zone that these great pitchers get into, you can tell by looking at the opposing batters where they're lost, and he threw fewer and fewer pitches as the game went on. So he went later and later into the game, and he just he rallied. He did the opposite of what Justin Verlander does, who's who they said, in fairness, is an older pitcher and he's tired, and he probably just doesn't have it. But he's 0-6 in World Series, so you know you might say he's tired. I say more like, well, what's the sound that would describe it?
Calling Dr. Heimlich.
Oh, 100%.
But Strasburg,
Justin Verlander's in too many things, right? Outside of baseball. You hear about it too much. He's too much.
He's also got a ring already, right? So he's good.
Steven Strasburg, you know.
But statistically speaking, they're saying he's right now the greatest pitcher in postgame history or postseason history.
I don't know that.
Statistics,
that
I think.
What,
I think
Strasburg?
That with his undefeated run and also just his numbers.
I don't even know about that.
So I'm wondering, do you think that if this continues, even if they don't win tonight, do you think he will be the kind of pitcher they talk about 25, 30 years down the road?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he's got an option to
get out of his contract. This is an option year for him. So I don't think – I got some intel that he's building a house. So I don't know if that changes the $300 million offer to the $170 million.
Is it on your street?
Yeah. No, it's not on my street.
Oh, okay.
It's a what have you done for me lately?
Sure.
So make no mistake. All I know is the big games, there are guys that deliver – and there are guys that just relish it. Most of these guys at this level, at some point in their careers, have rallied for the big moment. But there are still guys that can't handle it. There are like a lot of guys batting on the Houston lineup that are kind of like, what you were talking about, Steven Strasburg, he makes the batters look like he's impossible to hit. He is perfect. He is throwing the pitches he wants where he wants, and it's great. This is the World Series. This is me, your Red Sox fan, Mike O'Mara, who is just captivated by this World Series. It's a lot of fun, and who knows what's going to happen tonight. It's really just entertaining competition for those of us around the country. Even if you don't have a dog in the fight, watch the World Series. It's a lot of fun tonight. Yeah. And the Washington, D.C. going nuts right now after they went, after it was total crickets.
Right.
Total crickets. Where are my crickets?
They're
Where
so quiet.
Goddamn crickets.
Mike, they're so quiet, they're not even talking.
They're tired out.
Yes.
Yeah. From all the losses.
Where is it?
Crickets. Sleepy crickets.
I would say that the crickets were like, oh, man, I went to game five and I got lost near Audi Field.
Crickets are all at Audi Field.
Yeah. They're picked up by, what is it?
What?
Oh, God. It's not what's the word? A gypsy cab.
Okay. What you should do is, you know, they've sold out the viewing party at the Nationals Park tonight. Why don't you set up an auxiliary viewing party at Audi Field?
I'm setting up at home, watching the game and hoping and parking my car in the garage. The Volvo, because I don't need a stomping this year.
You guys send those lovely cables to me. I'll fix that tomorrow. I'll get that. So check it out and enjoy. And then in all of this, you're going to be talking about Halloween Eve.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be having this game seven. And I'm all pumped up about baseball. It's kind of fun watching the city of Washington, D.C. get so excited about this, the potential. And by the way, I would use this for motivation for the Nationals. I mean, win, lose, or draw, they are... This is great. They gave this city something really special.
I think the most exciting thing about tonight, and I don't know if you know this is a Houston Astros tradition, is that the entire team will be playing in costume tonight because of Halloween.
All right.
Okay. You know, when you stick it up, it really hurts.
I know.
Does it hurt?
It's a big deal. It's a big, big deal.
He doesn't care at all. I mean, so not into it. So conditioned not to.
And you've just got your mind made up, and you know that I don't care.
But you don't.
No, I do.
And here's why. No,
here's why.
Did you stay up and watch the game?
I had the game on in the corner of my computer, but I did not watch the game.
That tells me all I need to know.
You just spit in our face.
That's all right.
Here's the thing, is that I want the win because two people that are very special to me want the team to win very badly, my mom and my late Uncle George. And I think that would be awesome.
What about if it happened for them? We're nothing for you?
Well, you just on me, so I guess not.
No,
I'm not pooping on you. I'm just saying, look, there are things that you love. There are things that you're passionate about. Look, I've worked with you long enough. You can't fake it. And that's, I like that about you. You can't.
If you like sports, you couldn't make fun of you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a sports guy. This is true. No, this is true. I understand.
I was really mad at you during the football era when you faked being a Redskin fan. That was just so because you were just so full
you
of
haven't
it.
Let it
and
go.
You didn't know anything about it. And you
well, no, but I did enjoy what the Redskins allowed me to do. This is true.
Yeah, you allowed being the announcer.
That was fun.
Who
was fun?
I mean, that was spectacular. But, you know, but that's what I like about you also is that you don't fake it. You don't, it's not that you hate it. But it's not. It's you know.
No. And here's the deal. I do understand your passion for it, and I love that you.
But I don't have the same. My passion is just the sport right now.
No, but I'm saying
you do not.
When I like baseball, regardless,
I'm talking big picture. I'm talking big. Like when you talk football and you were passionate about football. When you talk about the game of baseball. When the Red Sox, I did watch the Red Sox in the World Series because I knew that you know as a coworker that meant a lot to you.
Yeah.
So it's true. I mean,
I'm just.
He's playing both sides against the middle.
I like having you guys.
You know what? At this time, I'm rooting for the mugger. I wish I had a time machine.
I'm not fighting.
What about the showboating? What about the showboating yesterday? That made the game a little more interesting.
It absolutely made the game a little more interesting. It wasn't all that damaging.
There's an unwritten rule, though.
There's cockiness on both sides.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something I like.
I like when Oscar pulls quotes directly from Joe Buck's head. There's an unwritten rule.
No, I had to actually Wikipedia it. Because I was like, what are the rules for walking the bat to the base?
Okay.
I want to give some advice. Look, and people will disagree with me, all right? But I'd give a little advice to Juan Soto, all right? I'd give Juan Soto, I think Juan Soto.
21.
What am I hearing?
Full of testosterone, Mike.
He can buy beer now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Cigarettes.
That might be my chair. Juan Soto has the ability to be a...
Ken Griffey Jr.
Generational talent, superstar type of guy. Just to tone down the dickishness, okay? Tone down.
You're
the
saying this to a
guy.
But you're saying this to a 21 year old guy, though.
I want him. I know. But I'm telling
him
this as a kid.
Yeah.
But I'm telling him I'd love him to of the icons of the
our
game.
Our listening
and I
audience.
Hate that.
What went down the showboating?
Right. Bregman, the third baseman for the Houston Astros. He hits a home run. And he carries the bat down to like he has it in his hand,
and
running down the line.
Mean
that's
mugging
considered
the entire Nationals
He's got a dick factor on the Houston Astros. So he hits a home run and he carries his bat down
but
the line.
But he's staring at the dugout. Right.
He's staring at the dugout and he's got so it's a dick move, all right?
Right.
So this is once again they go high, we go low, stuff. Right, right. Same time. Well, later in the game, Soto does the same thing and everybody loves it. And it's like, I don't mind that part because that's sort of saying to Bregman, we can do it too. What I don't like is all the other stuff that's going on. And look, he's doing well. He's going to be a superstar, but I just don't want to see it go over to where that's what he's known for more than being a guys in baseball
player
that
first.
Get kind of caught up on it. And the great example of the kind of ball player you want on your team is Anthony Rendon, because he has that kind
dead
of
eyes,
that dead eye dickishness about it. But it's not a flashy showboaty type of thing. It's just like, yeah, I'm gonna hurt you. I'm gonna hurt you. That's the way it's gonna go. So there's passion. The manager almost had his heart explode last night, Davey Martinez, for the Washington Nationals, because there was a controversial call. Won't go into the details with that. Very complicated. Potentially a call that could have flipped
swayed
the decision.
Yeah, yes, true.
Is that big a deal? And even after the Nationals took a significant lead, the manager was still pissed off. And rightly so. Tension's running super high. That's a game
changer.
That's
what he gets paid
call.
To do.
Yeah, and,
fight for his
and
guys.
By the way, and the call, you probably get 50% of the country, 50% of the country. I mean, you can't really tell what it really was. It was, and Nats fans are going, absolutely no interference. I look at that, and when you read the letter of the law with the rule, and now we're getting into the weeds. Now we're turning into a sports show. Don't want to do that. All I want to say is
this is
great. Yeah. This is fun, and we'll check
fun
in
is the best thing to have.
Absolutely.
Fun is the best thing to have. It's killing my sleep patterns.
What time did you go to bed yesterday?
Well, I mean, probably I wind down. Even when I don't have a dog in the fight, I wind down. So I watched about three quarters of Watchmen after the World Series, that I had DVR'd. Yeah. So, I'm just sitting there going, bleh, 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 bleh. Meanwhile, Carla goes to sleep at like 5 in the afternoon. Sleeps
right after dinner.
Hours,
right after dinner.
Gets up
five.
And goes, I'm so tired. It's like, okay.
Speaking of sports, so I probably went to bed. Same deal.
Speaking of sports,
you have to wind
speaking
down.
Of sports,
I get on our page, and what a great response! I don't even know why I'm surprised. You just don't get to see it all the time,
right?
Having Steve Buckhantz on the show yesterday,
wonderful
the way that
day.
Our yes. audience is responding to him,
yes,
like really,
that's
really,
all Buckhantz right there, because he is a great storyteller, and he's such a pro. You know, did you guys feel like I did when he was telling his stories? And said, he just didn't miss a beat. Yeah. He comes in here and he's just so together, and he's tired, and he had a long drive in here, and this isn't his gig to come in and do a show that tapes AM. But he rolled in here, and that means he was up probably at 6:30 in the morning coming in. And I just hope he bounces back and gets a gig. He and I exchanged texts last night, and just a good guy, really, really good guy. And Rob, kudos to you for getting him in here. Really, really cool to have him on. And we'll keep our audience posted.
Absolutely.
On his future and where he is. God, it makes me mad. It makes me mad.
It should make you mad.
What they do to people.
Because when you see him dropped into a foreign situation for him and to just be so at ease and perfect.
Yeah.
It's why is this not tapped? You know,
they did it to my favorite golf guy, too. Gary McCord, and it's just like I think we get to a point in the broadcast business where. You know, especially when you're iconic and you're well-known and you've got a tremendous fan base, let these guys have their, let them go out on their own terms.
Yeah.
You got to have four years. That's all you're talking about. You're talking about 2 or 3 years in many cases before they go, I'm done,
So
60 Minutes lets them work till they're dead,
And sometimes
literally.
After.
Literally.
Yeah. I mean, they do.
Yeah, they do. So it's funny you even asked. We're even having this conversation. The idea that we're having these conversations with broadcasters like Buckhantz, and we get to do what we do for a living. I think somebody last night was like, oh, I heard you had Steve Buckhantz on, and I'm writing back and forth, and they were talking about the podcast and the situation and our fan base and our listenership. Make no mistake, I know we bitch once in a while, and there is some behind the scenes stuff that you guys get to see that may not seem that we are not living our dream jobs. At least I can speak for myself, but I feel like collectively that's how we should all feel. But any one of those stories is a reminder that for the first time ever at these past 10 years, we have owned our entity.
Oh, and it's so much. I mean, we have our moments.
So lucky.
Not, yeah. You're never not going to have your moments. Yes. But to come in and do this and to still have the juice to get a good guest like Steve Buckhantz to come in, to still come in and be able to talk about the issues of the day, the Washington Nationals, having a little fun. You know, doing this every single day is, it's really, 99.9% of the time, it is so much joy. We had a show last week that was a little off. I literally noticed them because I was so exhausted and I dealt with this debacle. It was my fault. And that is such an exception to the rule where I come in here and I'm just kind of like going, hey, hey, hey.
Right.
I love what we do. And it's, just for all of you out there that are listening to it, keep doing what you're doing. Keep supporting us the way you're supporting us. And we look forward to our big celebration out there in Lost Wages. We're going to come out
Vegas,
here and
baby.
With
Vegas.
You. So, with guys like that, because we have the opportunity and we can do it. You know, we all talk, hey, let's get Steve on the show. You know, we're not having, we're not running it up a flagpole.
No. Like, who are we going to be upset about? What are they going to say? Is it going to affect our advertising? Right. Okay, we can't do it because Ted Leons listens.
And I'm not sure Ted would be upset about that. You know,
and the beauty of it is when he sat down and you said, can we talk about the thing? And that's all you said. He said, talk about anything. You know, he's just ready
by
to
the
go.
Way, for counterpoint, Ted Leonsis is welcome to come on this show anytime he wants.
Of course.
That's it.
Of course.
Absolutely. Ted can
He probably never knew about the decision.
He
later,
might not
later
have.
On.
He might not have. I mean, you never
I
know.
Don't, I,
well,
don't know.
Well, I understand
know,
he's not much of a sports
but,
fan.
But I felt, look, I don't know for that fact. And I can't, but I felt for Steve because I remember having similar conversations and feeling the same way.
So did I.
When
so we all,
JFK flipped formats. And wondering why and how and because. And what I finally came to grips with, and I kid you not, the NBA helped and realized that they're teaching you to look at numbers and people now. But if you really get down to it, it's numbers.
Yeah. Let me throw this out of you. I got a theory about this, and we have to start the show.
Yeah.
But I have a theory about this, and I'll throw this out at both of you guys. This is really kind of self-serving, but I think I might be onto something here. Because when I look at the guys that they bring in, you know, when I think about the guys that they bring in, and I look at a guy, here's a classic example of longevity in broadcasting. It's a totally different venue, but a Pat Sajak.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at him with his, with his hack, like absolutely unfunny jokes that he throws out there. And I look at that. He's been on the air for 500 years. And the guys that are on for 500 years, the reason you have the guys that are at TOP, our job, at least when I came in and when Don and I started getting popular, was to do what I'm doing still to this day, which is to be a little edgy, to talk about what's real, to keep it real. When you keep it real, you are going to push people away and alienate people, not only in the listening audience, but also in the management tower. God knows we did it with management. And I think that, that's why the broadcast business right now has turned into this land of vanilla extract, because the guys that have longevity are usually just very, very plain.
You know what Pat Sajak is?
Yeah.
He's Christmas music in the month of December.
Absolutely. He's 100%.
On one of those radio stations, yeah.
What I listen to down here, it's just a... Bob doesn't like you. Absolutely saying things for the purpose of Phil. There is absolutely no true desire to make things humorous or entertaining or edgy or any of that.
Rocking the boat used to be the prime directive. Now it's and now you can't. You don't want
to
give anyone a reason to come out of their comfort zone long enough to think maybe there's something else on. Just keep it even.
And when the time comes, it's very easy. To say to a Gary McCord, hey man, they took you off the Masters telecast because you said the greens were as smooth as a bikini wax, which was a funny, edgy, slightly irreverent line, and they never forgot that.
And accurate.
He's an easy guy to say goodbye to, when you're doing this, and it sucks. And really, I think that it's you still get the occasional guy that's got the edge, but watch that career longevity.
Sure.
Because when they do that, they're normally pushing people in. And so this land of, I will always be against the land of vanilla. It's not, I can't get a microphone in front of me and do it. I swear to God, I feel like something's going on.
A squeaker?
We've
got a squeaker.
La 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 la. Hold on, let me listen.
All right,
squeaker. Active wire.
Something weird is happening.
But do you think it's your chair?
I don't know.
Could there be a wild animal?
If I was Johnny Vanilla Extract, yeah. I would be terrified of doing what? Oh my God! He started talking about sounds at Magical Studio. I'm gonna get fired. But even with Buck Hantz being he was one of the straight shooter guys.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys that was, you know, just a professional, just doing his job. So I mean, that's a pure example of somebody just didn't like him. Somebody didn't like him. That's what happened
also
with that. Some
change
suits
for
didn't
the,
like him.
Some suits like change for the sake of change.
Yeah.
And that's youth, no good either.
Youth. Don't forget the youth movement. Yeah,
that's
the
true.
Wonderful youth movement. Mm. We all love the youth movement, you know. I got more edge in me than you could add up, you know, you have 40, 20-year-olds that would come in here and wouldn't be able to do this. You know?
You've got more edge than you too.
That's true.
Edge is a bass player. Anyway,
the pantomime sold the joke.
We didn't get to the real thing I wanted to talk about is Rob ruining Halloween.
Thank you.
Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And we will do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
What have you done to it? What have you done to its eyes?
He has his father's eyes.
What are you talking about? Guy's eyes are normal. What have you done to him, you maniac?
Satan is his father, not Guy. He came up from hell and begat a son of mortal woman.
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan!
Satan is his father, and his name is Adrian. He shall overthrow the mighty and lay waste their temples. He shall redeem the despised and wreak vengeance in the name of the burned and the tortured. Hail Adrian!
Hail Adrian!
Hail Satan! Hail Satan!
He chose you out of all the world, out of all the women in the whole world. He chose you. He arranged things because he wanted you to be the mother of his only living son.
His power is stronger than stronger.
Hail Satan.
His might shall last longer than longer.
Hail Satan!
No! It can't be! No!
Oh, look at his hands.
And his feet. Oh, God!
God is dead!
Hail Satan!
Satan lives! The year is won!
Hail Satan!
The year is won! God is
dead! Hi, everybody.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
That's fun.
Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
I'm off the beat because I'm here and you're there. We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Glad to have you with us on the Wednesday before Halloween, everybody. Our show today brought to you by Cornerstone. Listen to some wisdom from Cornerstone. Predicting the future ain't easy, but when it comes to the housing market, you got to be in the know. There are a few indicators and trends that can give you a fairly good idea of where things are headed. For example, a chief economist recently said that he believes the housing market is entering a golden period. And I quote, "We're in a very special environment for housing demand. For the first time since World War II, we have mortgage rates below 4%, while at the same time the unemployment rate is below 4%. That's a golden period. That will stimulate activity, and we expect sub 4% mortgage rates and sub 4% unemployment rate through at least the end of 2020. You don't want to be left out of this golden period. Home appreciation is up, tappable home equity at an all-time high. Rates are at a record low, and with Cornerstone's offer to meet or beat any competitor, the golden period is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to eliminate your PMI, pay off credit cards, student or car loans, or do home improvement. Now, my friend Mark Livingstone, he's the guy at Cornerstone First Financial. You can call him 202-625-1221 or check the web at cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. And we thank you, Cornerstone First Financial. Yeah, that's a couple of days with whining about the biz, but, we do it honestly. We come by it honestly. So when a when a guy, you know, gets a shake like Steve Buck has, it's great to get him in to tell his story, and we wish him the very best. We will keep you posted.
Absolutely.
On that. Now, another thing I wanted to talk about today as we go to Halloween, Rob Spiewak comes in today and said, I'm going to have my lights out tomorrow night. I'm not going to be, I'm going to be shutting up the house. This is a guy that for years and years, this was you getting into it and Halloween being your thing. And I realize your children are grown now. One of them is away at college and your son is, you know, a rising junior.
He is a junior right now, yeah.
And so, I mean, the thing about it is that you're blowing it off, huh? You're not going to do anything.
I mean, we were for years. I'm not really a Halloween guy, more of a Christmas guy. But with kids and leading up to having kids, I was always a multi jack-o'-lantern porched family.
Yeah, I thought you were, you set up like Jimmy's Old Town Tavern on your stoop.
And we do. I, for the past few years, we were handing out small bottles of liquor and beer to the grown-ups and candy for the kids.
But
full
I thought
size.
Your whole neighborhood was like a big, Halloween was kind of a big deal.
It's not like a communal thing. It's more of an individual thing. I remember the one time that it really soured me.
Oh.
Is, you know, our Mrs. Kravitz neighbor across the way?
Yeah.
The one that talks through the window and has the loudest recycle bin in town. Clink, 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 clink. One time on Halloween, she called and I answered and I said, hi, this is Gladys Kravitz. Let me talk to Carrie, please. I said, okay. The first thing she said to Carrie is, do you have like a cell phone number that I can call that Rob won't answer? Because she didn't want to talk to me. And then she said, I don't think it's right that you guys make the kids come up your stairs and knock on your door for trick or treat. I prefer to sit on my front porch and hand it to them as they come in. And I'm like, absolutely not. For one thing, the making them climb the steps and ring the bell and the horror of that, that's the joy for me.
It's not horror. It's what you do. You knock on somebody's door.
But you want to inconvenience the kids and you want to make them go through the... You were never a little thrown off or a little put off by knocking on a stranger's door to say trick or treat. I love the uneasiness of it.
But I mean, I did it.
Yeah, of course.
Because everybody's house. We didn't have the sit out in front thing.
No.
When I was a kid. We didn't
have
that. And
so as we get to that, I don't like that. The fact that I guess I'm expected by certain neighbors to sit on my porch. Also, it drives Linus crazy when people come to the door. Now, I do enjoy making the kids.
But is it primarily because your kids are grown?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just not into it. I was at the grocery store and they had the pumpkins, you know. I said, I don't want to screw with carving a pumpkin this year. I don't want to do it. I just don't.
Yeah.
Who would want to?
But it seems like it's an end of an era for you.
I guess it is.
This is weird because I don't know this feeling of...
It's kind of depressing hearing
you. Yeah, it's really
about
a bummer.
Well, I tell you what, the one thing that
Bums
has been
out,
a balm for the sadness of this going on...
Does
is that,
play into your cheapness at all?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
Is that Julia is doing great at school. No more talk of transfer.
Yeah.
And I don't even think I said this.
Oh, that you didn't update us on that. So that's no longer wanting to go to her buddy's school?
No, not as of this moment. And we got her midterms. And she is a 4-0 right now with positive remarks.
Yeah, tell her to stay there. Stay there, Julia.
From Daniel. All of, and the thing is that in art is not, you know, multiple choice and essay questions. It's art. It has to be graded by another set of eyes. And the enthusiastic.
On talent. It's a talent related.
Graphic design.
And the enthusiastic reactions and recommendations she got from her professors. I literally cried when I read them because I'm so proud of her. And
I always said, Julia Jellybean.
Absolutely.
God damn it,
that's
she's
right.
She's going to be a 4.0 through college.
As long as she can hide that secret computer account.
Yeah.
What was it? Webkins, I think it was.
She's a Webkins.
You are to be very proud of her. That is awesome.
Out of
that
my mind
really, really
proud.
Awesome.
And it was just, it makes me feel so good that she's doing so well and excelling, but it doesn't change the fact that every day when I come out of my bedroom, I look and there's her bedroom and it's empty and there's no sheets on the bed. And I know, oh, she's not home. She's not going to be home for a while. And
aww,
she's setting up stuff in another town and she's doing great. And I'm glad she's happy, but I miss her. I miss her really bad.
But what about getting up and Mike, you can, you know, work with me here or work against me. Either one work. You get up, you look in that room, you're like, I can put a Peloton treadmill in there and lose a couple LBs.
No, no. How about I just shut the door?
Oh, okay.
Better.
Well, no, that's what kind of, you know, my folks didn't do that when we had a teeny house. So they didn't change. They didn't, you know, take over a bedroom. There are certain parents that do that.
Oh,
there are other parents that don't.
I have all my friends that they would be.
The bedrooms would be taken over by the parents?
I think, and the Latin traditional household is not healthy. They don't want you off that tee ever. Like, they want you to get married.
They
and
want
still
you
live.
To have your room forever.
Yeah,
right?
And that's not healthy at all. My American friends that grew up, they all went back home. They were lucky to have their room probably till the next summer, end of the summer semester.
My parents made it really clear to me that when I went to college, it was like, bye-bye. Come back and visit.
Yeah. Did you see?
But they didn't mess with my room.
My
at all,
junior year.
Yeah, that's
my
true.
My junior year, everyone except for me to a man was coming home or staying at school because it wasn't, if they would go home, they'd be sleeping on the couch downstairs. Because the room upstairs
they had already been modified.
Turned into a craft room. There was a treadmill in there now, a mini gym. It was dad's second office. Like,
sure.
It was changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The work is done. The work is done.
You see, that my mom kept my room until she moved. She moved out of her house about when I graduated college. So as long as I was in college, my room was still the same.
Well, but it was used to, to come back, and that's where I would sleep, when I would do that type of thing.
But also, were you the kind of kid that looked forward to going home? Because there was the kids that looked forward to going home and the kids that would.
1,000%. Yeah,
me too.
First couple of years in college,
me too.
I loved going
but
home.
But then
especially
kids,
like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
The best.
Was the greatest night in the world.
Party night.
Hey, I'm up. College.
But then there was we had one kid on our, I remember him on our floor named Matt, and he's like, do you realize that they're locking up the dorms for Thanksgiving? I said, yeah. He says, that means I gotta go home. I said,
oh wow, so he hated it.
He hated it. And
he was glad to get out. Was he a partier?
No, he was a drug head.
Yeah, he's druggy.
Yeah. But
he can't do his drugs when he's at home.
But it always threw me
rules.
The thought of someone that wasn't eager to go home. And
I had a guy like that freshman year at Dean. They gave him this nickname Antifreeze.
Hey, man.
So,
Antifreeze?
Yeah. I kid you not. And I remember asking later on because I didn't realize that one of the floor guys, RA, gave him the nickname Antifreeze. I was like, hey, David or whatever his name was. Like,
Antifreeze.
Why'd you give him Antifreeze of all things? He said, because he looks like he drinks antifreeze.
And there you go.
Like, in today's cultural world, you could not get away with that. Somebody would be written up.
Yeah,
they lose their RA gig. But for the entire time I was there, he was, to all our friends, girls and antifreeze.
That's a great name.
You still, the Big O and Duke show still has the greatest nickname.
They do.
Tip of the cap to Chad Dukes. He sees him, gives him, moves on.
Landfill was the
phenomenal landfill
name
too.
For a fat guy. Yeah, and Landfill too, another fat guy. So getting back to you, so you're not going to do it. You're not going to enjoy looking at the other children at all or anything like that?
Not really. I'm not feeling it.
Is it a reminder of what you've lost?
I believe it is. And Julia was always more of a dress-up person than Robert. Robert will probably end up doing something with his friends. I don't know. But, he's... You know when you're kind of on the edge, like maybe 7th, 8th grade, you could probably pull off trick-or-treating? And, well, Robert is now, he just crested 6'4", so he's not trick-or-treating. He just can't do it.
He's too old for it.
Have you, speaking of Robert, since we're here, is this bonus show? Tell me if I'm messing this up.
What?
There's something that you in passing told me. This is what's great about having Rob at Podcast Village after the show.
Oh, yeah.
Once in a while, I hear bitching about something. I'm like, oh, I know.
I tell you, I can, I can spin into this if we have 5 minutes.
Please,
I can do this.
Please,
we can do an extra.
Okay, so we did, Robert's homecoming was this weekend, and it was great.
You took a lot of pictures.
And the, Tuscarora football game, they won 42-7. Yeah. It was great. Football game Friday night.
Beautiful
Saturday.
Crew.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Great.
Yeah, they went
kids.
They went to the mansion. I can't think of the name of the mansion that's right there. And it's like
Playboy.
Civil War mansion.
McCamey Manor.
No, it's not McCamey Manor. Hold it. McCamey I wrote Manor. It down.
Hefner. Where you can pay to be tortured for 8 hours.
Morven Park. It was built in the 1700s.
Okay.
And it's been restored, and it's a lot of people go take their pictures there. Robert said, Dad, I'd really like a suit. I've got a date. It's sort of a friend thing, except it wasn't. And I said, okay. So we went to, first place we went, Robert said, we should go to Jose Bank. I said, Robert, it's called Joseph A. Bank.
Oh, no.
Did he really think it was Jose Bank?
He did.
It was Jose Bank.
Jose Bank. I said, it's Joseph A. Bank. So we go. He's very strong, Mike. Very strong.
Good looking kid.
So we go to the outlet mall out there in Leesburg, and we go into Jose Bank, and the salesman spots us.
I'll never call it anything else.
That's it. That's all. It's got to be.
The salesman spots me and Robert come in from like across the store. He says, I'm sorry, I don't have anything that'll fit you. You're too skinny. And I said, are you talking to me or him? but it turned out that they don't stock anything below a 32 at Jose Bank. He said, you may want to try Express. And I said, oh,
for men.
Yeah. And I thought Express was a girl's store. But yeah, it's not. So we walk over there, and he finds a really nice, actually very close to the color of Oscar's shirt, a nice slim cut blue suit. It's not horribly expensive, but you know I'm treating him to it because he wants to look nice. They've got this deal. Shirts are $69 or three for $80. So, of course, you get three shirts.
Yeah, you're your parent.
And then you buy a tie. And I say, you sure you have shoes? He says, those socks are real nice. I said, okay, I'll get you some socks. So we drop some money at Express, and I got to be honest, he looks dynamite. I mean, we have a nice sales lady that
pairs looks gorgeous
with a nice, like a patterned shirt. It looks great. And so I come home and he models it for the mother. And Carrie says, that looks nice. How much was it? And I tell her, and she says, well, that's a little much, but I guess he looks okay. And so it's a good, okay, so good. We're all good and he's ready to go. And then we get a package in the mail on Tuesday. Now, keep in mind, ever since he got his cast off in the summer, he's been working fairly steady at Wegmans jockeying sandwiches. So he's been saving his money. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize.
Banking
it. And he gets this package and he comes home. He rips it open. Dad, it's here. I said, what? He said, my belt. I said, well, I would have bought you a belt.
Yeah, we're all out there.
Dad, no. It's a Gucci belt. He pulls it out. Big G on the buckle. He said, wow. He says, yeah, I got a pretty good deal on it. $190.
I could feel
my thumbs adjusting to his very small.
This is
small
his money, though, right?
Yes,
this is his money?
But it would have been nice if maybe, 100 of that 190 got thrown towards the suit. You know, I can feel my thumbs tightening mentally around his neck. I just
Gucci
want to
belt, eh?
Oh, and it's beautiful.
Really?
Oh, it's it really looks like he looks like a real housewife, except he's a boy. And so he comes down for homecoming. He won't let us go with him to take pictures because he's afraid we're going to embarrass him. And I'm just biting my tongue. I want to say, do you want a list alphabetically of all the times you've embarrassed me? Trust me, I could pull this off. He said, I'll get you a copy of the pictures. And I said, do you want to help tying your tie? Yeah, I've been thinking about that. If I wear a tie, it covers the G on the belt buckle. So I'm not wearing a tie.
Can you believe that?
The Gucci belt. He's got a little fashion sense, though.
Well, he's got no sense is the problem. And so, so anyway, he looked good. And by the way, here's my note to all high school juniors across America. Young men, wear socks. Please, just put on some socks. No one wants to see
the hip summertime look that, you know.
It's the end of October, though.
You'd see it in the Hamptons.
The end of October.
There are no show socks. Men's socks.
I suppose. You know what? Maybe it's me. I don't want to see an ankle.
Let me just say.
It reminds me.
You're the dad. But there are a lot of things you can dole out advice on.
Okay.
One of them, footwear. And your regard for not showing skin.
All we see
wear Birkenstocks every
day. Okay, but here's what it reminds me of.
Are you wearing Birkenstocks today?
Yes, I am. What it reminds me of is someone would be on the Tonight Show, like, say, Tony Randall. And he crosses his leg, and his sock doesn't come up far enough.
Today, but the foot exposure, you go out to eat with those Birkenstocks.
I do.
Right?
But
you go into restaurants
you meet clients with those Birkenstocks.
But I am
do you
not,
know I cover my feet up down here in Florida whenever I'm going to go dine out? Because I don't like to see men with their toes, their nasty ass toes.
Well, the season is changing, and the Birkenstocks will be put up for the winter. So, ladies,
what will
I'm
be
sorry.
Replacing the Birkenstocks? Like a sneaker?
Probably a lovely black New Balance sneaker.
Hmm. What if I bought you shoes?
Yes.
Adult shoes.
Right.
And nothing, they wouldn't be expensive, but just adult shoes.
Right.
Would you consider them?
No.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I won't give you this.
That's a solid no.
Well, you know what I would like? If you would, I'd love a Gucci belt.
No.
That'd be nice.
You know, you can still change your mind. You can still roll by Costco and get some candy and hand out some candy.
Candy.
Candy, it could happen. We'll see.
When you get back.
I think you're going to miss it. I mean, even without kids, it's still looking at the little guys and chatting. But if you hate your neighbors, I mean, that's
I don't hate my neighbors at all. You know what I might do? You know what's a great idea? Is go to Costco and get candy, but then eat it.
Brilliant. We'll take a break and we will come back. I have an update on the school bus tobacco.
Nice.
Right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, it's me, intern Dahlia.
Hi, Dahlia.
You know how everyone always says that the best things in life are free? Well, that's just communism infiltrating American culture. In America, we pay for things because if we don't, the commies are going to replace every American flag with the hammer and sickle.
This is true.
Do you, our loyal listener, want your independent wealth stolen by Soviet ideals? I think not. So buy the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Pay for your entertainment like a red-blooded American should. Thank you.
Thank you, Dahlia. I appreciate that. Boy, she's a special one, isn't she?
I love her.
She is a special
intern. Do you know that her father buys the bonus show?
It's true.
Way to go, Mr. Dahlia's
father.
Isn't
that nice?
That's terrific.
And has to translate it word by word into Lebanese so he gets the jokes.
Not foreign, for God's sake.
I'm only kidding, of course.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in sheets. Don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? Of course you do. So when you sleep, sleep well. Sleep on hotel-quality sheets that don't cost an arm and a leg. They're better than hotel-quality sheets.
Better, absolutely, 100%.
Go to Brooklinen.com, the winner of the best of online betting category by Good Housekeeping. They have over 35,000 five-star reviews, more than any other online betting company, with over 500,000 happy sleepers and counting. My Brooklinen sheets are the most comfortable sheets I've slept on, and their towels have turned my bathroom into a spa. I couldn't recommend them more. For friends, family, treating yourself to the upgrade you deserve, Brooklinen.com giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use promo code TMOS. Brooklinen.com. That's where you go. Brooklinen's so confident that all their sheets, comforters, towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use promo code TMOS at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com. Promo code TMOS. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever, and they are. They feel great.
Love
it. They do a great job. Got a quick break here before we go back to commercial because we are running late, but I will tell you, yesterday I got involved. Mrs. O'Mara got involved. In fact, Mrs. O'Mara got involved after we started taping the show yesterday, after I'd had my morning bitch session.
Mm.
And I'll bitch throw this sesh. Last part out at you guys to get your take on it.
Okay.
This is funny. So, I end up calling when I didn't get any satisfaction by calling the transportation department for the school buses, I call the school at my wife's suggestion and speak to the assistant principal. And it's funny because you go from, you're going to have to, to total competence at the school. Because they just get, and by the way, we have a lot of teachers that listen to this show, and every parent in the world, every person that doesn't have kids in school, be aware of the quality level and the standards at most schools in the United States because of these wonderful administrators and teachers that we still have great people in this line of work.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That are doing it for very low pay and working their asses off and dedicated. And do not take these people for granted. They're spectacular human beings. There's so many lines of work in this country where people are, you know, doing just amazing work. And probably not getting nearly the compensation.
To a person, anytime you run into any problem with the school system, it invariably involves administration and not the teacher. Because the teacher's down in they're down in the dirt getting it done. That's the bottom line. And if they don't work.
Well, this administrator that I talked to was the assistant principal, and she did a great job at getting back to me, telling me what she required. She said, okay, I understand what's going on. Listen, here's the best thing to do. I want you to send me an email. I'm going to take the email, and I'm going to forward it to the best person to get it. And I said, bam. And I got off the phone with her. Bah, 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 bah. I read a very brief but very, very well thought out email about the situation that we have with the bus basically being a no-show, well over 20 minutes late, which is the window they're allowed. By the way, there are standards down here where if you're past that 20-minute window, you get it taken care of. So during the show, Carla gets a call back from, I think, the administrator again, the assistant principal, and they said, we've sent it to this person. They're going to contact you. Here's what's going to be done. The supervisor of all the transportation is going to be speaking, actually, to the driver.
Ooh,
wow.
So that's going to be it. So, okay, so today I noticed the app is working.
Right. Really? And did you update your phone? Do you think it could have been related to that?
This was not me. This was on them.
System.
They
putting
turned
the system
it on
trial. Mm-hmm.
And I see the bus goes active at about 6:30 a.m., which usually, by the way, this dude, he doesn't get it. I just don't think he knows how to move quickly. I don't think, because I'm sitting there looking at it active. I'm like, what the F are you doing? Because he still, this was vaping. A great day. This was a great day
Lots
for him.
Lots of vaping.
And he was 5 minutes late.
Flavored
now, that's
vaping.
Not a lot, but it's just like, I don't get it. I don't get why you are glacial, you know? So finally the bus arrives, and I make a little joke. I said, and your name is? Haven't seen you in a while.
And then he pulls out a handgun.
And no, he looks at me, he said, yeah, going to probably be quitting soon. And I'm like,
you couldn't say anything to give you less satisfaction. Yeah, you know what?
It's just, I know, hey, dude,
quit
I know
last week.
I know you did get crap probably because you do your job so badly. And it's all, as we found out, it was all you.
Yeah. Yes.
That it's you. Yeah. You're the reason this has all happened. And, you know, obviously he got the crap and he wanted to share with me that, you know, I got a bad knee. And I'm like, okay, bye bye. See you later. Maybe they'll get somebody who's
going to be
better,
quitting soon, you know, because I got reprimanded for not doing my job.
Right.
Equates to not doing your job.
Yeah, but yes, I've got a bad knee.
So there you go.
The CBDs aren't working, man.
The oil. I drink it. I rub it. I don't know.
You know, maybe I got a different perspective. I did this job.
Yes.
I know what this job requires. Nothing. Nothing. I'm sorry. Show up, turn a steering wheel, be on time.
Same route every day. That's it.
That's it. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But it was pretty interesting, and everything was fine today. We'll see. Tomorrow's another adventure.
Mañana.
We'll see. But I've also got the pipeline now that anything goes astray, right to that administrator who was doing her job.
Absolutely.
All right.
You're here.
Thank you very much. And I'm not going to mention all the names because I'm not doing that with my kids' school, but I'm going to tell you that really terrific job that they did, because they're nothing but competence over at his school, which is great. Great to have your kid go
as a chess
school.
As someone who occasionally plays chess, it's good to sometimes think 3 or 4 moves ahead. And mm-hmm. I think what's going to happen is probably in mid-December, like 11th or 12th of December, you're going to be driving that bus.
I would love to. I really would. Really would. I swear to God. Hey, guys. Sorry. Show's going to start at 11 today. Anyway,
we have a 20-minute window and we can start the show.
More fun and more thrills coming up on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal.
Okay. Listen up. O'Reilly here, and you're there, and you want to get in touch with TMOS. You don't know how. You're out of touch, right? Lazy, uninformed, not good people. Well, who's looking out for you? I am. I'm here at The Factor, and we can hook you up. You can always email the show at rob@mikeomarishow.com. That's Rob, 2 B's, big head, not a good guy. The Yak Shack, anytime, 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. Leave a message. Be sexy if you want. Like, you know, I like voices. Talk slowly, ladies. You get my drift? Or P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Mail something like a letter or a parcel or a citizenship inquiry for Oscar. He's not from around here. We keep an eye on that one. And be sure to keep an eye out for my new book, Killing Mike O'Mara. Yeah, the plot involves $1 margaritas and a kid named Pony. He's very thin, nervous guy. The Mike O'Mara Show, always available and always looking out for you. This is Bill O'Reilly, and I hate everything. Thank you, Bill. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Public Rec. Think about your favorite old pair of sweats. Nasty, ratty sweats. Huh? They're comfortable, but can you really wear them out of the house? You don't want to. You don't want to cause a scene. You don't want them to call the cops. Wait, introducing the all-day, Police. Everyday pants from Public Rec. The pants that close the gap between a stylish pair and comfortable wear. Featuring custom-made performance fabric and a tailored fit, the perfect pair for you guys on the go. There's the first sweats that I have are probably disintegrated right now. I actually look at them and they are nasty, nasty, nasty.
Almost transparent, right?
But these things, I swear to God, they are so neat. They have waist and inseam sizing. So whether you're short, tall, somewhere in between, they fit perfectly. Mine just arrived. Well, they arrived about a month ago. I already love them. In the house, on the town, these pants are perfectly comfortable wherever I go. Oscar Santana.
Mike, these pants, because of the way they make them, they get your inseam and your waist. You can literally tuck the drawstring in, and it looks like you're wearing like like dress pants,
slacks,
almost, or jeans or jeggings, and they look good.
Yeah,
they're very, very comfortable, and they're wonderful all day, every day. They're called that for a reason because they're perfect anytime. Nine colors to choose from. Nice. Here's an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Go to publicrec.com/TMOS and get 10% off your first pair of their all-day, everyday pants. Automatically apply to checkout. Plus, free U.S. shipping and free returns. Don't miss this rare opportunity to get a discount. That's publicrec, rec spelled R-E-C, .com/TMOS for 10% off. No sweat. Continuing on the Rob Spiewak depression tour today.
Oh, yes. No. What?
You said to me the other day when we were going over show prep that you know why we don't have any friends.
Yeah.
I had a great day, I should point out, with a new friend of mine yesterday, and my buddy
Jose Oli, Banks.
And we had Jose a great, Banks. Great Jose Banks. And we had a fantastic time yesterday. But you're saying, I know in general, I think I know where you're going, but
right.
Why? I'm starting to worry.
I found
about you.
I found this list, and I said, you know what, this is worth looking at. It says, "Are you exceptionally likable?" And I thought, well, maybe. And it says 9 reasons why people decide they like you. And I wanted to see, as you know, the three of us as broadcasters, where we measure in.
I love it.
So this is something that likable people don't do.
Okay.
Likable people don't talk a lot.
All right, I get it.
Yeah,
I totally get it.
Can I get a buzzer for that for us?
Yeah, I believe zip.
Well,
zip,
yeah,
zip.
because we're always we're always screaming. Yeah. We're always flapping our gums.
Likeable people don't blame people.
I think there's a lot of accountability.
Everybody,
there's a lot of accountability though.
Yeah. That's true.
As of late, there's been a lot of like.
Well,
the
there's
buck
accountability,
stops here.
But we are big blamers.
Oh,
all
yeah.
three of us
oh,
are
yeah.
huge blamers.
I feel like we've gotten better at that in life.
Doesn't mean
in the
stopped.
Last 10 years
hasn't stopped.
I know, but the accountability in my mind and your mind and probably Rob's mind is that you know we blame when
how many times have we resolved a situation, got it totally buttoned up and done, and one of us says, but we don't have anyone to blame for it. So you're left dissatisfied.
Okay. Yeah, but we do blame. Okay. So that's another buzzer.
Likeable people do not try to impress.
Problem.
We all try.
As a matter of fact.
By the way, when you're doing an interview, that is, and this is something for Broadcast 101. When you're doing an interview, it's really, really important to interview the person. Remember, the excitement of getting the person on your show is for your listeners, not for you. So you have to resist the urge to tell the guest in like a half an hour all the things you like about that guest.
Do not fanboy
out. Very hard
out.
To do. I've done it. I've been guilty of it. I try to keep it down to a low roll. I've heard interviewers that did it with every guest that was important.
I've done it.
Yep.
It's embarrassing.
We have.
Right. All right. Go ahead.
But also something... about, I think one of the reasons we're in this business is we try to impress. It's a look at me business.
And we're insecure.
Yeah.
That's us again.
Likeable people don't interrupt.
Oh, goddamn.
Hold on a second. I need another sound for that.
Yes.
That's like we're going to.
And maybe one
DEF
of these.
DEF CON 5. We do for a living.
Okay.
Interrupt.
They don't complain. Likeable people don't complain.
Oh, God.
that's for me. But you know what? You're not a big, you are. You're a big complainer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I am.
I'm the biggest complainer.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, but it's entertaining.
If I'm not bitching, I'm not breathing. That's
likeable people are not controlling. I think we can
tough for me.
I think we can sort of skirt the line on that one. So maybe of 9, you know, that's one that we don't have.
I'm not owning that. I am not controlling. I do not worry about it. I don't. And,
and I don't think I do either.
In this entity, I don't. Would you say that's accurate, Oscar?
I would say that, absolutely. You are a...
I let my peeps do their thing.
Yep.
So you let us live and die by our own sorts.
But then it goes back to blaming then.
But you know what? Controlling to me also is networking and doing the work of the ambition work. And I regret that. If I look back on it,
I think they're separate. I think they're totally separate.
I would say I'm controlling on a healthy level.
All right.
I would not call you control. I would call you invested.
Okay, so I'm invested.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a fault.
So I will go. So how about this? I will go to a production that I know I don't have to go to. a remote production, or I will go. I'm going early to Las Vegas, even though I know what we're walking into.
Right.
I'm going.
Yeah,
we got
help this year.
Yeah, but I'm going a day early, right, just in case.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, right? I don't think that's controlling.
I'll be doing the show. I'll still do the show, but just in case, I will leave on the Wednesday afternoon.
Are you getting a car?
No.
All right.
He wouldn't drive there.
No, I'm talking about like when he gets to the airport.
Just kidding.
Christ
just
sake.
A joke.
All right.
If he's looking for a pickup, I get where he's going.
Likeable people. Yeah. Likeable people do not criticize.
Practically on the tarmac.
Yeah, you're right.
The hotel.
You're right there.
You're staying at the airport, aren't you?
Yeah, the airport. I'm playing. It's in fact the name of the hotel is called Steve Wynn's Tarmac.
You know how awkward it would be if I did get a car and I picked up Mike and I had to drop him off at the very nice hotel.
Exactly.
And then drive back to my hotel. Yeah.
We're staying at Steve Wynn's shoebox. And speaking of which,
enjoy
people,
the vanilla air.
Speaking of which, likable people do not criticize.
Oh God. I'm sorry. No, that's
no. I'd say we made a living of it.
Wow.
Likeable people don't preach.
Oh God.
And I think that comes
gross
with drinking. I think a lot of times the opinionations come out.
Juan Soto showboating.
Yeah, okay. Who had to go before a boy?
Stop it. Stop it.
All right.
And the final reason that people are not likable, brought to you by Rob Spiewak's Nostalgia Corner. Likable people do not dwell on the past.
Ooh.
Thank you. All right. Well, now we know why we're hated. Yeah. Thank you very much, Rob.
Rob,
one of the greatest lists you've ever brought to the show,
well,
right there.
It's kind of fit, didn't it?
It sums it all up.
Hi.
All right. Okay. Now I understand.
Oh, stop.
I totally
don't
get
even
it
say
now.
Those words.
Yeah, you're right. Horrible edit words. That out.
Yeah, beep it.
Edit that out, bastards. Effers. Psycho. DJ Rizzo.
Rizzo.
We'll take a break and we will come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, opera.
Hello, it's your boy Paulie again. Now, I heard some of you P1s don't have Alexa, but you do have Google Home. Well, guess what? The Mike O'Mara Show is also on Google Home. Check it out. Hey, Google, play the Mike O'Mara Show podcast.
Okay, resuming podcasts, The Mike O'Mara Show, number 2208, full course meal.
Mike O'Mara, radio entertainment. Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our...
That's freaking believable.
Hey!
Take it back, Mike!
Thank you.
All
Thank
the
you,
stuff
Paulie.
He submitted, one of my very favorite two-word phrases is, hey, Google!
Hey, how are you? Yes, siree. Paulie Cramden, everybody. Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by... Our bonus packages,
yes,
ladies and gentlemb
edit.
What's the matter, Clambake? Why are you so down on the mouth? Halloween troubles in your neighborhood? Did bullies steal your decorative gravestones? Did a bunch of ne'er-do-wells pop your pumpkin inflatable? Did a gang of hooligans take turns sodomizing your jack-o'-lantern?
Oh,
oh, my God. That's taking it too far. What you need is the TMOS bonus show. That'll cheer you up. I'm not sure it'll fix the damage inflicted on your pumpkin, but at least you'll feel better.
They took turns.
It's a safe zone of comedy that you can depend on with Mike, Oscar, Rob, Maddie, and Jethro. I'm sorry, Pony. It's a commercial-free, unscripted, no-holes-barred sixth episode of TMOS, and no pumpkins were harmed in the making of this podcast. Just click the banner ad on our website, and you'll get out. I remember a show that used to have that done.
That's what inspired the copy.
A pumpkin show.
That's right.
Anyway, you get all that. The passport to the asport.
Right,
you know
on,
that.
Right on.
TMOS bonus show brought to you by Flipper McGee's Arcade of Falls Church, Virginia. Located at the old Wallace and Monroe Pharmacy Building on South Washington Street, Flipper and McGee's offers all the latest hot video games like Tapper, Track and Field, Frogger, Fire Truck, Joust, and Tempest. Plus dim lighting, sticky quarters, and the vague smell of syrup. Flipper McGee's, a great place to score pot. Closed tighter than Ms. Pac-Man's mouth since 1985. Oh, my God. Wrong
news.
Thank you.
That poor pumpkin.
Fingers. Vision. Blind. Can't see.
Quiet mouth.
Bored. Idiot. Imagine walking into a P.F. Chang's and the guy behind the counter is Bill Murray.
Oh.
Hey!
It really wouldn't be the weirdest place he's ever popped up. He does this all the time. It sounds like it could have happened. On Amy Schumer's podcast, Bill said he actually filled out an application at the P.F. Chang's inside the Atlanta airport. Why? Because, quote, I think that's one of the great places. It looks like the best time, Bill. When P.F. Chang's heard about this, they tweeted, Bill, you're hired. When can you start? Bill also revealed that he loves Family Feud.
Really?
Bill Murray. But he says, quote, I take the time to fast forward in each episode all the way to Fast Money. He's right about this. Because that, to me, is the excitement part of the show. I totally get it.
Yeah, it's true.
I do, too. I actually do that. I will skip through Family Feud to Fast Money. He said, I skip the early rounds because I don't always respect their tactics. He's a weirdo, but a great
weirdo. Tactics?
I love that. Tactics.
What could they be?
Kevin Hart won't be going after Jared Black, the guy who wrecked his 1970 Plymouth Barracuda and almost killed him in the process. He's not even going to file a claim with Jared's insurance to cover his medical bills. According to TMZ, Jared's fiance, Rebecca, is close to Kevin's wife, Aniko. In fact, she's Aniko's personal trainer, so they're all friends. Plus, Kevin can easily afford his medical bills, as huge as they're going to be. Kevin had surgery for 3 spinal fractures.
He's
not going to be alive.
Wow.
And he's still undergoing extensive therapy. As for the car, it sounds like he's just going to eat the loss. Ironically, Jared could conceivably sue Kevin for not having safety harnesses in the car, but since nobody was wearing their seatbelts anyway, that seems like a stretch. So, all right. Okay. That's good. That's good for Kevin Hart. I'll give you a positive Kevin Hart
what
story.
What is it? It's karma.
So to speak.
I think so. Absolutely.
If they're alive.
C-A-R-ma.
Karma.
If that story was different, Mike, and they were suing each other, I wouldn't have been shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would be evil.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that that story's out there means Kevin thought about it. That's my opinion.
I hope he feels better so he can get back to his job at P.F. Chang's.
Yay. The NCAA has made a big announcement. They're finally relaxing the rules. Buck brought this up yesterday to allow college athletes the opportunity to benefit from the use of their name, image, and likeness. However, it's unclear how significant this is because no new rules have been drafted. The NCAA said the athletes will be able to The NCAA said the athletes will be able to be compensated, quote, in a manner consistent with the collegiate model. But the collegiate model doesn't allow athletes to get paid. So that's kind of a gray area.
Huh.
Instead of rewriting or creating any new rules, they're merely directing their 3 divisions, 1, 2, and 3, to, quote, consider updates. The NCAA said it wants the new rules to be in place by early 2021, so it's a step forward, but it seems like there's still a long way to go before college athletes get a share of the money. Look, folks, I've thought about it after Steve brought it up yesterday. You know, this is the last thing we ought to be worrying about. It's 4 years, usually 2 or 3, and we're sitting there, should they get paid? Should they get... You know what? Go to college, get an education. I don't care if the guys are stupid, but they're just great athletes. I think they ought to at least get some benefit. I don't know.
Why can't they pay the graphic design student?
May I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
The argument is, and I know I'm far deeper into this just because of the nature of the work we do.
Right.
The argument that I've heard that made the most sense, because I used to be in your camp, Mike, is how can they get a fair education if their entire job is to be an athlete?
Well, that's where I think they ought to be focusing, Oscar, because I really do believe that it has become the winning factor, which is totally, I'm sorry, it's irrelevant. It's a kid's game. It's so overblown. And it's so, these coaches, who's the Alabama coach? I'm trying to think of the guy that's... what the hell? Why am I blocking his name?
Patino.
I can't remember. But anyway, these coaches...
Saban.
It's just, Saban. Nick Saban. These guys like Nick Saban, you know, they get multi-million. There's a problem with that. I think it ought to be, you go to school, there ought to be more parity. You don't have these powerhouses. Well, I don't know, the whole thing, the whole college thing rubs me.
We consumed 24/7 for college football. So I've watched most of the episodes.
Right.
You look at those programs and they're built around performance.
Yeah, it's all performance. I get it. I understand they're grooming them from the pro. I understand it's like the minor leagues in baseball. It's just, to me, you're still talking about institutions of higher learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what this is about.
But if those institutions were making sure these guys were graduating with comparable educations,
it would be different.
It would be different.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If you were to say that college
at its bare bones takes a young adult and prepares it to go down the real world, right?
Well, I think so. If these athletes are going to make it into the pros out of college,
you're looking at it all wrong.
Okay, I'm just throw it out there.
So the benefit for these scholarships, the way why people like the education side, mm-hmm. where everybody lays all their chips down on. Now, I'm not saying this for every school, but Division I powerhouse. I can't believe you're getting a free education, and you get to be on television on the weekends, and you get to live this. The schedules that these guys have to pick or choose don't allow them, in some universities, to pick certain tracks for education. You can't be a pre... Well, you can, but
you
it would
be an...
You can't
be an elite athlete and also be a scholar athlete.
A scholar.
Those
are the outliers.
Yeah, I know. I know they are. It's frustrating.
I chose education, Mike.
The generalities of this, the big picture, the broad stroke, is that I still think colleges ought to be focused on educating people and Agreed. Educating their minds. And that's where it's gotten so completely out of hand that we're worrying about this now and we're arguing about this when it ought to be how to get more people in the United States to get a college education. It's the way I've always thought about it.
Find out what track works for them.
Yeah, but you know what Americans care about? They care about Saturday football. And
that's
they
it.
Care about, you know, being at the university and, you know, pom-poms and all that. The generational divide right now is not great with younger generations and baby boomers not seeing eye to eye basically on anything. So Gen Z and millennials have a new catchphrase that I love. I'll buy this T-shirt. Hmm. It's getting very popular. To sum it up, okay, boomer. The New York Times summed it up by saying, quote, teenager use it to reply to cringy YouTube videos, Donald Trump tweets, and basically any person over 30 who says something condescending about young people and the issues that matter to them. And T-shirts and other clothing with OK Boomer on it are selling crazy.
Are you okay with it? Because I think technically
it's hysterical.
You're a boomer. You're a boomer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the joke.
Yeah, but I'm just
Mr.
saying.
Man, that's why I'm saying, I would buy the T-shirt as a 60-year-old man to say, okay, boomer. That's the fun part of it. And there wouldn't be anybody my age buying that T-shirt, you know, including you wouldn't get it, obviously, as you just demonstrated.
Well, that's why I over 30.
Yeah, we're there.
Okay,
boomer.
I was trying to.
I'm a total boomer.
Yeah, because 1961, I think, is the cutoff. Because I think
people were like rabbits, Rob. No. It was amazing. Yeah.
In their army uniforms.
Right. Moving right along. Here's a great only on Halloween story for you. A college student named Sydney Wolf at Marshall University. We are Marshall in West Virginia. Dressed up. This is a great story. As Carrie this weekend for a haunted house.
You take a nap?
Which included blood all over her hair, face, and dress. And on her way home, she got into a car accident.
Oh, no.
She totaled her car. Unfortunately, she was okay. But because of her costume, everyone who was a first responder thought she was dead.
Oh, God.
She's fine. She's going to be A-OK.
Oh, my God.
But they thought she was
dead.
And they liked it.
Where's the blood coming from?
Oh, my God. Get an IV in her right away. Yeah. Well, things could have gone terribly wrong. And now a little something-something. Gentlemen, your cat is an independent free thinker who doesn't care what you or anyone else thinks. So you can really stick it to your cat by saddling them with the name that tons of other cats already have. A pet insurance company just released a list of the most popular cat names of 2019. The top 10, are you ready?
Yes.
Poppy.
Oh.
Bella. Molly. Tilly.
Tilly.
Daisy. Lois. Millie. Rosie. Luna. And Lily.
A lot of E's.
So just remember, on this list of top 10s, you got a Tilly, a Millie, and a Lily.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, these are all female names. The 11th name on the list is Charlie. Charlie the cat, which can work for a female or male cat. The first name that's really only for male cats is, are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Oscar.
Oh, hey! Snap.
in 13th place. I have a great name for your cat. If you get a brand new kitty cat, yeah, name it this weekend, Mayhem. That should be, right? Yes. I love the commercial.
They do cause that.
It's fantastic. Mayhem's
the
great.
The cat commercial's great.
And then maybe your cat can go, I love that guy.
By the way, 100% yeah, chance that a guy had five beers at that insurance institute and just made up that list.
Oh, absolutely. The names are all over the place.
Of course. Yeah. Billy, Lily, Silly, give me another beer.
Charlie. Hey, Charlie, fizzy lifting drinks. We'll take a break and we will come back with the audio ball right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
A few words about the mighty 1630 KCJJ. Not only is it the last of the great local radio stations, it's also the terrestrial flagship station of the Mike O'Mara Show and has been airing TMOS since 2008. It's the only station in the world where you can wake up to a crazy old man yelling about things and drive home with the dulcet tones of the Mike O'Mara Show. It's great music, great talk, great local sports, and the best auctions in the world. So remember, crazy old man all morning and the world's most beloved podcast to get you home. The mighty 1630 KCJJ and the Mike O'Mara Show. Treat your ears.
You know, I miss those guys. I haven't been on that show in a long time.
Would you like me to make a call?
Well, no, I can handle it. I can do it on my own. I just like to call them at random sometimes. Yeah. It's a
sneak
lot of fun.
In? Yeah.
Yeah. I like to sneak in. And do you still communicate with him at all?
As a matter of fact, he called me yesterday on Halloween evening. They're going to be airing a classic episode of Rob Radio, Halloween Records. So if you want to tune in to KCJJ
That's good.
Halloween evening, mm-hmm, they'll be streaming a classic show from 2011. It's a pretty good one. You'll like it.
I'll call him and tell him that you need to be compensated. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Zappos. Congratulations to Zappos on their 20th birthday. That means 20 years of the absolute best customer service and a selection that is unmatched. We are going out to the Zappos Council Chambers Theaters for two live sold-out shows, and we are so grateful to Zappos. We have a thriving partnership with them. They're amazing. They have millions of customers with long-lasting relationships with great wardrobe items. We celebrate our return to Vegas, our partnership built on listener support, whether it's footwear, outerwear, anywhere. If you wear it, get it at Zappos. We just ask that you support us both by accessing Zappos through our website. Just click the banner. As always, Zappos.com provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Thanks to Zappos.com, there's never been a better time to look your best. Thank you, Zappos. We will see you in Las Vegas. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. Tomorrow's Halloween.
Yes. Yay. So this is All Hallows Eve Eve. We were trending on Twitter yesterday. Some family, I don't know where, appears to be an American family, got a little kid.
This is the 30th.
I was about 30th. To just correct you. It's the 30th.
Yeah, this is the 30th. Tomorrow's the 31st. I wrote the wrong date down. Sorry about that.
So he's like maybe 3 years old, and what they did is they stuffed his shirt with a pillow and gave him a little tiny sport jacket, and it doesn't hurt that the kid has the same haircut as Chris Farley and Tommy Boy. And so this video was trending yesterday on Twitter and the Gram. It's really funny. It's great. Because it is.
Can you play that one more time?
The coat is so small because he's a 3 year old anyway.
I love kids. God, I love that so much.
So, Mike, I know you had trouble with your... Do you have any dynamite or explosives handy?
Not right now. They're in the garage.
Oh, okay. Well, then I won't play... Maybe I'll play a little bit of Dr. Jean's Halloween song.
Oh, I got them, Rob. They're right here. They're in the closet.
Oh,
thank
you. Dr. Jean's Halloween song, Mike.
Form the pumpkin. Form the pumpkin.
Dr. Jean?
Yeah, perhaps you remember she had a song called the Guacamole Song. Do you remember this? We played this, didn't we?
Form the avocado, form the avocado, form the avocado.
Downgraded her studio.
Why did she play the other one? Listen to the degradation of the audio.
I think
audio
what
quality.
Happens is this might be on her unplugged album.
Form the pumpkin, form the pumpkin.
Like she ran out of budget.
You blew it. Yeah, come on now. Yeah, where's the consistency of that product?
Come on, Gene. Get your head out of your ass.
Real, please.
There's an England safari park that one of their displays is wolves, a pack of wolves.
Wolves.
And they have an alarm that they sound at night, a safety alarm, like an all clear alarm. Now the wolves think that it's another pack of wolves. So whenever the alarm goes off, they howl at it. Here we go.
I would love to see
me
that.
Me too. Every night. Every night.
Now, that's so cool. Awesome. I love that.
Let's say you have a kid and they grow up. They get to be 9 or 10 years old. And you have another, you get pregnant again. You get the pleasure of telling them they're going to have a little sibling, a baby sister or a baby brother.
Doesn't always go that way.
When they broke it to the, they broke the news, I believe this is in England, when they broke the news to the 10-year-old, she had a different take.
You're going to be a big sister.
Really?
Then I've got a baby in my belly.
Serious? Do you have sex? Do you have sex?
Ages ago.
When you went away.
Oh, you had sex.
Is it good news?
You're going to be a big sister. We're having a baby.
Oh, really?
Is that good?
Really?
I love the fact that the kid has just flipped out that the parents are having sex.
Grossed out.
It's like, you're having sex. That. And then, to be specific, the parent says, yeah, when you went away. Don't say that. Yeah.
I know. When you went in the house. You're in the house.
Hey, Mike, as an older father, you'll appreciate this. Congratulations to Flava Flav.
Flavor Flav. He's a new dad at 60.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? It's a boy.
Yeah, boy.
That's your magic audio
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, boy.
Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Wow. Yeah, 60 boy. Years old, getting it done.
There you go.
Yeah.
You have sex?
All right, Carla, don't even think about it. All right, thank you. That's it. We got to get out of here.
Yeah, she can't have sex with Flava Flav.
No, I got a chance to, you know, have my wits about me at high school graduation. I don't want to be like, hey, wait.
Yeah, boy.
I see the people wandering around here. It's a 97-year-old guy that plays up at Cocoonville on the driving range that I chat with every day. They honored him because he's a World War II veteran, and they said to the guy when he was flying across the country, they said to him, will he need a wheelchair or any other form of assistance? And his wife said, I'll ask him when he gets back from playing golf. There you go.
Hey, when a 97-year-old shoots his age, is it still a big deal?
It sure is. S is. Thank you. That's it. We got to get out of here. For Oscar Santana, Rob Sue, I'm Mike O'Meara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MearaShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Luke Bryan, wishing you a very happy Halloween.
Boo. Mike O'Meara, Radio Entertainment.
I can pull a better cartoon out of my ear. Wasn't that great, kid?
I want you not to go too far.
I'm just beginning.
Bow to your sensei.
Bow to your sensei!